February, I am calling Mission Month. This is my opportunity to share with you the plan of how we're going to get to 100 people here at the Carlisle campus. It's always good every year to kind of circle back and revisit the mission of the church so we're all on the same page. By way of introduction, though, how many people are familiar with how a compass works? Are we familiar with the concept of a compass? Yeah, okay, most of us are fairly. Some of you should have put your hand up, so you've been found out. You're not listening. If you don't know how a compass works, it's pretty easy. The pointy arrow with the N always points north. In all of the advancements we've had with GPS and phones and everything in the world, the compass still remains one of the most reliable forms of hiking, direction, navigation. That's the word I'm looking for. Because you don't have to understand why it works. You don't have to turn it on. You don't have to make sure it's charged. It just works, right? You don't have to understand how the North Pole and magnetism, it just works. And the point of it is that if you get lost, you always know which way north is. So in theory, if you pick a direction and just start walking, you should get somewhere eventually, right? The problem of trying to do that without a compass is we've all heard stories of people thinking they had been traversing in one direction and really they had just made one great big circle and they hadn't actually gotten anywhere, right? A compass is the simplest way to make sure that if you get lost, you can get unlost. And I start there because mission, vision, values, strategic planning, these are all the key coin words of our day. Every business, every organization wants to have these things. And in many ways, the church has kind of jumped on board. And as you visit every website and every pastor, one of the hardest things I think we try to do is try to come up with a mission that is unique to our church. And I believe that God has called one church to a very specific mission, but I also believe that if there's a mission to be had, it's probably in the Word. And we probably don't have to reinvent the wheel, because a mission literally is, why does the church exist? And why does the church exist? Well, Jesus put it best. If we want to get mission, we probably go to the guy who started it all. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So I want to set a little context here. So Jesus has died on the cross, paid the price for your sins and mine, was buried. 3 days later, the angel rolls the stone away. Jesus comes back to life, and he is now standing with his disciples, getting ready to ascend into heaven. And he's speaking to Jewish people, and this is key in this story, because I don't know if we in the West understand the dynamic shift that Jesus is making for his followers here. See, if you go back to the first five books of the Bible, God's plan for the world was, Israel, you obey, do everything I've taught you, and when I bless you, the world will see the blessing and come. They will see that you serve a good God and you've been given all kinds of wisdom to succeed and there's blessing. And so there's benefit to coming and being a part of what God is doing. And as we read the rest of the Old Testament, we discover that Israel didn't hold up their end of the bargain. Right? Israel continued to sin, turned to other gods. And so the come and see strategy didn't work. And so Jesus, as he ascends, as he has established a new covenant through which the world would be saved, looks at his disciples, and instead of saying, come see, He tells them, go. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them. Go make, baptize, and teach disciples. And so this now becomes one church's compass. Ooh, look at the graphic design there. Get used to seeing that. If someone can take that and make it prettier, I'm all in. And you're going to see this not only all month, you're going to see this moving forward, because this is the direction. This is how we as a church are going to operate. Go, make, baptize, and teach. Tim? Yeah, I know you do. Oh, that's going to get old real fast. Look into what's going on with the mic. Go, make, baptize, and teach. So what we're going to do for the duration of February is I'm going to unpack each of those things. All you need to remember is go, make, baptize, and teach disciples. But what I'm going to is the complexity behind it. But every time you see that picture, you're just going to know. This is what One Church is all about. These are the things that we are trying to accomplish. So simplicity in the midst of complexity. And so this morning, we want to unpack the idea of go. And what's significant about this story, as Jesus is sending the disciples, this is actually where the disciples shift from being disciples to apostles. We have often talked about apostles like they are the higher echelon of church leadership. They're the gold standard. But literally in Greek, the word for apostle literally means sent one. So Jesus is sending the disciples out on mission. And what is the mission? Well, essentially, he's telling them to go be disciples. So in order to understand what it means to be a disciple and what it means to make disciples, we better understand what a disciple is. And maybe some of you have heard this, maybe some of you haven't. For the sake of making sure we're all on the same page, this is what a disciple is. In our modern day, we probably use the word mentor. So a disciple would come under the leadership of either a rabbi or a Pharisee or somebody, some prestigious leader, come under their discipline with the goal of becoming more like them. I want you to catch that. Their goal was to become more like the leader. Right? And we get that, right? If you go and want to get mentored by somebody, you're not going to get mentored by someone you despise or think low of, right? You're going to want to be mentored by somebody who encapsulates some characteristic or some ability that you want to be able to replicate. And so you go to them to be mentored by them so you can become more like them. So when we take this idea and you apply it to Christianity, and this is why I've often said in church, I don't like the idea of saying Christian, because everyone says they're a Christian when it's convenient. I want to take that step further to being disciples. Because as disciples, what is happening is you're following Jesus with your mind. Your heart is being transformed to be like his, and with your hands, you're busy doing the work of bringing glory to him, which shouldn't surprise us because it should sound a lot like the great commandment, right? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. This is what a disciple is, someone who is trying to become more and more like Jesus in every single way. So Jesus says, go, be disciples who make disciples. So how does that get fleshed out? Well, number one, Jesus tells the disciples, go, tell the world. Matthew 10:7, go announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. And he told them, Mark 16, and he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Romans 10, 14 to 15. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. So we go and we tell. And I want you to understand, when I say go tell the world, I'm not telling you all to go find a soapbox with a microphone, find a street corner in Carlisle, and just start barking the gospel at people. Okay? There's people that do that. I'm not, because if I'm saying that that's the expectation, how many people are signing up for that ministry? If you are, you're doing it on yourself, because I'm not even doing that. That's not what go and tell means. What go and tell is, when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus wasn't telling them to do anything he didn't do. In Matthew 4, we read that after the temptation, when he had fasted for 40 days and Satan came to test him, and he's done with the test, it says right afterwards, he went into the city and he started to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's not telling them to do something new. He's telling them to do what he's already been doing. But as you read the gospel, everything Jesus said was just dripping with the hope of the salvation, dripping with the truth of heaven. And that's what it means to be a disciple, that as we talk to one another and we talk to others, it is dripping with the hope of eternity. It's dripping with the love of Jesus. In a red verse, I put it this way. I'm going to pick on the low-hanging fruit. When we talk about politics, everyone's favorite topic these days, we don't complain about it because they're just people. You know why people who don't have faith in Jesus complain about politics? It's because without God, politics become the highest authority. It becomes their only hope that things are going to get better. And when they don't do what they're supposed to do, they complain. But you don't have that mentality. You don't have that perspective. As a follower of Jesus, who's the highest authority? Yes, the Sunday school answer works. Jesus. Jesus is the highest authority. And Jesus only does what is good and prosperous and wants to see you succeed and become all that he has called you to be. So you don't have to complain. I heard someone say, we need to complain less and pray more. It's not about going out and sharing the gospel all the time. It's simply going out and letting everything you talk about and everything you believe be impacted by what Jesus has accomplished in your heart and in your life. So go, and this is what he meant by witnesses. Witnesses is, what has God done in your life? And maybe some of us need to pause and be like, what has God done in my life? What was the last time we had a conversation? I know there's 12 people that recently had a conversation with God because I watched it happen. When was the last time you opened that Bible up? When was the last time you prayed with this goal of actually hearing from God instead of just giving him the laundry list? When was the last time you actually created space for God to move so you could be a witness of God's goodness? This is what you're to tell the world about. Go tell the world that God and Jesus are good and they are moving and that hope is available to them. Go tell the world. Number two, go and show the love of Christ. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Not let your good deeds be shine out so you get a pat on the back. Let your good deeds shine out so everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Matthew 25,
Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to the least of these my brothers and sisters, you are doing it to me. In James 1:27, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Go. Go show the love of God. Go do good things for the purpose of shining light where light needs to be shone. Take care of those. And this is littered throughout Scripture. And it's what we see Jesus doing. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. So who did Jesus hang out with? It wasn't the Pharisees. They were kind of a pain in his butt. Who did he hang out with? He hung out with the tax collectors. He hung out with the prostitutes. He hung out with the quote-unquote sinners. Why? Because they would come, and they would hear the way he spoke, and he would love on them, and they would find hope and forgiveness, and their lives would be transformed by encountering God simply because he was willing to do good for them. Go tell the world. Go and show the love of Christ. And number three, because everyone's like, that's a lot. You're asking a lot of me right now, which is where number three comes in, because you don't do it on your own. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. And in verse 20, he says, I am with you always, even to the very end. Mark 16, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Luke 24, and now I send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, and stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Luke 12, and when you are brought to trial in the synagogues and before rulers and authorities, don't worry about how to defend yourselves or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. And finally, James 1, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. You don't do it on your own. There's never the plan for you to do it on your own. The plan was, and Jesus told the disciples, I can't stay with you, because if I stay, I am limited by proximity, right? Has anyone figured out the trick to cloning yet? No, you're kind of stuck to one place at one time. And that was what Jesus was saying. He's like, I need to go so I can send the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit can be in all of us all at once, all the time, to give us the power and the authority, because Jesus says he goes before us, he goes with us. All authority in heaven and on earth is with him. You don't do these things on your own. You do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, but it also requires submission to the power of the Holy Spirit. It also comes with a willingness to be the disciples that Jesus called you to be. I need power because I'm in trouble. Maybe you shouldn't have gotten in trouble. Start there, maybe. We go and we tell. We go and we show. And we go in the power of the Holy Spirit with the ultimate goal of being disciples who go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Because what happens is when you speak with the hope and the love of Jesus in your life, when you do good for those who don't ask for it. When you go out of your way to do something that is exceptional, and when you walk with the confidence of knowing that in your time of need, the Holy Spirit will give you everything you need to say when you need to say it, people start to notice. Why are you so confident all of a sudden? Why did you go out of your way to do that good thing? Why don't you complain more? Why don't you do these things that the rest of us are doing? And the answer is simple. Because I believe in Jesus, and he's changed my life. And so the invitation now becomes, and he can change yours. And if you're not even comfortable with the conversation that comes next, and they're like, well, how? You say, come to church. We pay a guy for that part. You bring them here. I'll help you. We go and we make disciples. This is the mission. It's not to just come and gather and hide in our building and be like, oh, good, we're safe. No! Because if we don't go and we don't invite and we don't be disciples outside of these doors, the odds of someone wandering in on their own volition is slim to nil. Do you know what's a really scary thing to do? Show up at a church for the first time. You guys are scary. No, I'm just kidding. It's not you. It's me. I'm the scary one. It's intimidating. It's intimidating to walk into a building. You can't look through the windows and see what's happening. We covered that. Right? Like, if we don't invite, if we don't almost and sometimes literally walk someone through the doors, they're not coming on their own. So in order to expand the kingdom, in order to make disciples, we need to go. We need to be a church that goes and is interacting and loving on people and doing the things that we read about Jesus doing. And so when we talk about this being the mission and we talk about the dream team, this is where outreach and social media come in. Because I've always said that social media is the window into the church. It is. Because somebody may not walk in, but they might find the live stream on YouTube and they can at least see this part. Right? Social media is how we tell people we've got events going on and we hope that maybe one of the events will catch them, but it's more than that. This is how you get involved. You take out that fancy phone of yours that takes pictures. You take pictures of something that's happening and be like, hey, I was at church this morning. Matt said this and it really encouraged me or really challenged me. And then it gives people an insight as to what's happening. And I know that there's people in the church that believe that social media is more of a tool than a pain. And if you feel that, if you see the value in it, this is where you fit. Because you can just post things or share things or just get it out so people can see it. Social media is the window. It's one way that we go. Outreach, on the other hand, what I'm looking for is I need one or two people who kind of have their finger on the pulse of their community. And because we serve so many different communities, I'm kind of looking for like two or three and everywhere. So it ends up with 10. But anyways, someone with the pulse on the community that says, hey, there's a need. I'm going to take so-and-so, and we're going to partner up. We're going to go do something. It's not like a whole church. We don't need all 50 of us to show up and do this thing. It's just the two of you go, and you serve coffee, or you go to the lodge, and you just go visit because they need a visit, or you just do something small, but go do something good, and do it together, and love on our community, because there are needs. And as much as I like to tell you that I know most things before you think I do, I don't know everything. But you guys do. You know what's going on. You know when there's a need. You know how to bless. It's a tangible way to go out and love our neighbors and love our family and love our coworkers. And so as I'm saying this, if that stirs in you, then this is where you fit in the plan. To go. All of us are called to go and tell and to show in the power. But some of you have that extra little gifting to just take it to the next step. And if that's you, this is where you fit on the compass. This is where you fit in the plan. So part one of the compass, church, we need to be a church that goes. Go and tell, go and show, go in the power, and ultimately with the end goal, go make disciples. Jesus, I thank you, Father, for the simplicity of following you. We don't have to have a degree. We don't have to have the Bible memorized. You literally said if we need wisdom, we can ask, and you'll give it to us freely. And so, Father, I pray that we would be a church that goes. Father, that you would stir in us a desire, those people that we need to talk to, or when the opportunity comes to just extend, do something good, a random act of kindness, or just something a little extra to just bless those, or whatever it may be. Father, stir us to be a church that goes to be a blessing, goes to show the kingdom at work, and ultimately with the goal of going and making more disciples who love you and who in turn turn around and go themselves. Father, stir us in the mission. Keep us focused on it. Thank you for keeping it simple and help us put it into practice every day. In your precious name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.